Here's your fair value brief for Tuesday, August 18, 2026. Treasury yields just hit their highest level since 2007, with the 10-year auction settling at 4.69%, despite cooling jobs and inflation data. The culprit? Record U.S. debt issuance, which is tightening financial conditions all on its own, no Fed hike required. Copper shortages are throwing a wrench into AI's growth story. Spot copper now trades at a record $478 premium over futures, with inventories at 15-year lows. That's bad news for Wall Street's $500 billion push to build data centers, because you can't build them without copper. And OPEC's latest supply hike barely moved the needle. Even with an extra 188,000 barrels a day coming in September, Brent crude is stuck at $90.99. Tensions near the Strait of Hormuz aren't helping, keeping energy costs elevated. Now, to the markets. Yields and stocks told two very different stories on Monday. Bonds sold off hard. The 10-year Treasury auction closed at 4.69%, its highest since late 2007, while the 30-year hit 5.25%. Normally, softer jobs and inflation data would ease long-term rates. But this time, debt dynamics took over. The U.S. is on track to borrow more than $1.6 trillion this year, and that's pushing yields higher, tightening conditions without the Fed lifting a finger. Stocks, though, they're holding up. The S&P 500 dipped just 0.17% on Monday, while the Nasdaq's still up 1.09% for the week. But dig deeper, and you'll see the splits. AMD surged 6.5% on strong AI chip demand, while Broadcom dropped 5.9% after reports that its $370 billion AI financing platform hit snags, thanks to those copper shortages and rising costs. And copper's the real problem here. LME stockpiles are at 15-year lows, with spot prices commanding that record $478 premium. For context, a single large-scale data center needs about 50,000 tons of copper. Without it, AI infrastructure rollouts could slow down, no matter how much money's thrown at them. Over in oil markets, geopolitics are calling the shots. OPEC Plus confirmed it'll fully reverse its last voluntary production cut in September, adding 188,000 barrels a day. But Brent crude didn't budge. It's still at $90.99, up 2.34% for the week. Traders are pricing in the risks, Iran's threats to Oman, tensions near the Strait of Hormuz. Energy stocks are loving it, though. The XLE Energy ETF is up 7.67% over five sessions, and Schlumberger gained 3.3% on Monday as drilling demand picks up. Here's the common thread: rising costs. Higher treasury yields mean pricier borrowing. Copper shortages inflate data center budgets. Geopolitical friction keeps energy prices up. The Fed might pause in September, but the market's already tightening on its own. Now, the big story. Copper's record premium is exposing AI's physical limits. LME cash copper ended Monday at $14,830 per ton, trading at that $478 premium over three-month futures. That's the widest gap since 2021, and it screams shortage. Global stockpiles? Down to about 200,000 tons, a 15-year low. The message is clear. AI's rapid growth is slamming into a copper supply wall. Here's why it matters. Copper is the backbone of AI infrastructure. A single large-scale data center needs around 50,000 tons of the metal, about 2.5 kilograms per kilowatt of capacity. With AI demand surging, data centers now use 400,000 tons annually, and that's expected to hit 572,000 tons by 2028. The catch? New mines take 10 to 17 years to develop, while data centers can go up in 18 to 23 months. That mismatch is a structural bottleneck, and the economic impact is already showing up. First, higher construction costs. Copper now makes up 2 to 3% of data center budgets, up from about 1% in 2023. For a $500 billion financing plan, that's an extra $10 to $15 billion no one planned for. Second, riskier financing. AI infrastructure bonds, often backed by data center cash flows, could face downgrades as copper costs eat into margins. Investors will demand higher yields, pushing borrowing costs up across the sector. And third, slower expansion. Some projects might get delayed or scaled back, pushing out those productivity gains the Fed and markets are counting on. There's a growing gap between what financial markets expect and what the physical world can deliver. AMD shares are up 6.5% this week, and Nvidia is still trading at 45 times earnings, both assuming growth keeps humming along. But Coppa's premium tells a different story. The real world is pushing back against Wall Street's timelines. Key levels to watch. If LME stockpiles drop below 180,000 tons, or the spot futures premium climbs above $500 per ton, scarcity is getting worse. If stockpiles recover above 250,000 tons, we get some breathing room, but no major mine expansions are coming anytime soon. And if AI infrastructure bond yields start rising, that'll confirm the financing strains are real. Copper isn't just another commodity anymore. It's the speed limit on AI's growth engine. Now, the big picture. Bonds are tightening even as the Fed stays on hold. The 10-year Treasury yield hit 4.69% in Monday's auction, its highest since 2007. And here's the kicker. This isn't about the federal. Even with softer jobs and cooling inflation ruling out a September rate hike, fiscal pressure is doing the tightening for them. Surging U.S. debt issuance is pushing long-term yields up, and the ripple effects are spreading. Mortgage rates are now at 6.67%, up from 3% in 2021. That's cut homebuyer purchasing power by about 20%. Existing home sales dropped 15% year-over-year in July, and new construction has stalled. Since housing wealth makes up about 40% of household net worth, weaker home prices drag on consumer spending, too. Meanwhile, stocks are still holding up. The S&P 500 is up 4.6% in August, and the Nasdaq's gained 5.04%, led by AI names. But Monday's 12.3% jump in the VIX to 16.01 suggests complacency is fading. Bonds are flashing caution. Stocks are still chasing growth. Oil's adding another layer of complexity. OPEC Plus's plan to reverse its last voluntary cut in September, adding 188,000 barrels a day, did little to lower prices. Brent crude still at $90.99, up 2.34% for the week. Geopolitical risks, like Iran's threats to Oman and tensions near the Strait of Hormuz, have set a price floor. While energy stocks are benefiting, the XLE ETF is up 7.67% over five sessions. Stubbornly high oil prices could slow the decline in core inflation, making the Fed's job even trickier. The tension is clear. Stocks are betting on AI's potential, bonds are pricing in fiscal strain, and commodities are reflecting geopolitical risks. The Fed might keep rates unchanged, but the bond market is already tightening on its own. Around the world, geopolitical hotspots are reshaping global flows. In the Middle East, former President Trump's comment about bombing Oman if it interfered with Iran peace efforts underscored the region's instability. With about one-fifth of global oil transit passing through the Strait of Hormuz, any disruption threats keep Brent crude near $90.99, no matter what OPEC does. The U.S.-China tech clash is heating up, too. Washington just made a 12.5% tariff on Chinese goods permanent, replacing a temporary 10% rate, and tightened export controls on advanced semiconductors. The immediate effect limits China's access to high-end chips, but the bigger risk is that China accelerates its push for self-sufficiency, potentially building a rival supply chain by the 2030s. Europe's making its own energy bet. The EU extended sanctions on Russia through July 2027 and is prepping its toughest restrictions yet this fall. But Ukrainian drone strikes have already cut Russian oil production by 300,000 to 400,000 barrels a day, tightening global supply as Europe tries to break its energy dependence. The strategy could backfire, though, pushing prices higher and reigniting inflation. And Middle East supply chains are under strain. Ukrainian drone attacks have pushed Russian refinery runs to 20-year lows, while Iran's strikes near the Bab el-Mandeb Strait are forcing costly shipping detours. It's like a hidden tax on global trade, raising freight costs and delaying deliveries. Now, the companies making news today. Copper shortages are testing AI's momentum. AMD shares climbed 6.5% to $514.39 as AI chip demand stays strong, though copper constraints could slow data center growth. Broadcom, on the other hand, dropped 5.9% to $392.99 after reports that its $370 billion AI financing platform faced delays from copper supply issues and rising construction costs. Energy stocks are riding the oil wave. Schlumberger gained 3.3% as crude holds near $91, extending a 15.91% monthly gain. But it's not all up. Software names pulled back on AI skepticism, with Salesforce down 2.6%, ServiceNow off 2.5%, and Adobe dropping 2.4%. Coinbase fell 3.5% to $148.47 amid regulatory uncertainty, as the SEC finalizes new crypto trading rules. And GE Vernova gained 2.1% on nuclear energy and grid modernization contracts, benefiting from the shift to baseload power. From Washington, the Fed's on pause, but bonds are doing the tightening. Goldman Sachs chief economist Jan Hatzius called a September rate hike very unlikely, pointing to soft jobs data, a 0.6% drop in July retail sales, and core PCE inflation at 2.4%, just above the Fed's target. That contrasts with market expectations, which had priced in about a 30% chance of a hike. The result? Volatility. 10-year Treasury yield stayed at 4.69%, while 30-year yields hit 5.25%. Here's the shift. Bonds are reacting to fiscal policy, not the federal record U.S. debt issuance, expected to top $1.6 trillion this year, is driving yields up, tightening financial conditions even as rate hike expectations fade. And the effects are already showing. Mortgage rates at 6.67% have cut homebuyer purchasing power by about 20% since 2021. Existing home sales fell 15% year-over-year in July. And with housing wealth making up the largest chunk of household net worth, consumer spending is feeling the pinch. The Fed may stay on hold, but the bond market is tightening for it. And that dynamic, not September's rate decision, will shape the economic outlook. Now, let's look under the hood at copper, the weak link in the AI chain. Here's the connection most people miss. Frontier compute depends on copper supply, which affects data center costs, which then hit AI earnings, valuations, and even Fed policy. Advanced AI models need way more computing power, requiring about 250 tons of copper per 100 megawatt data center, just for the wiring. But LME copper stockpiles have dropped to roughly 200,000 tons, a 15-year low, with spot prices at that $478 premium. This isn't a short-term squeeze. It's a structural mismatch between AI's breakneck growth and copper's slow supply. The cascading effects are already playing out. First, higher construction costs. Copper now adds 2 to 3% to data center budgets, up from about 1% in 2023. For a $500 billion AI infrastructure buildout, that's an unplanned $10 to $15 billion expense. Second, project delays. Hyperscalers might lease off-balance sheet capacity, but copper shortages still slow things down. A 100-megawatt facility facing a six-month copper delay loses about $50 million in deferred revenue. Third, earnings risk. NVIDIA trades at 45 times earnings, AMD at 30 times, both assuming 30 to 40% annual revenue growth. Copper constraints threaten that, yet valuations aren't reflecting the risk. And fourth, productivity lags. The Fed's counting on AI to boost productivity and ease inflation. If copper delays slow that down, we're stuck in the inflation stagnation trade-off even longer. Watch for these signals that the problem's getting worse. LME stockpiles below 180,000 tons, backwardation above $500 per ton, or rising AI infrastructure bond yields. On the flip side, stockpiles recovering above 250,000 tons or copper shifting to contango, where spot prices dip below futures, would ease the pressure. But no major mine expansions are coming soon. Copper isn't just another commodity. It's the rate-limiting factor on AI's economic impact. And markets haven't priced that in yet. Now, worth learning today, the long-term debt cycle. Yesterday's question, whether Canada's July CPI would meet the Bank of Canada's 2% target or come in higher, is still open. We'll circle back when the data lands. But here's the bigger picture. The debt cycle isn't a single loop. It's a layered system of short-term business cycles and long-term debt supercycles that reshape entire economies. and the U.S. is deep in the final stage of one right now. Here's how it works. Phase 1, build up. Debt grows faster than income, fueling spending and asset prices. In the U.S., debt to GDP rose from around 150% in the 1980s to about 350% by 2008. Phase 2, bubble. Debt becomes unsustainable. The 2006 to 2007 housing bubble was a classic example, with mortgage debt hitting $10.5 trillion, 98% of GDP. Phase 3, crash. The bubble bursts. Defaults surge, asset prices collapse. Lehman Brothers' failure in 2008 marked the peak. Phase 4, deleveraging. Households, banks, and governments cut debt. Spending drops, growth stalls. The 2010s U.S. recovery and Japan's lost decade fit this pattern. Phase 5, reset. Debt levels fall relative to income, and the cycle starts over. So where are we now? U.S. debt to GDP is over 120%, up from about 60% in the 1990s. The Fed's balance sheet has ballooned to $7 trillion, more than double its pre-2008 size. And Monday's 10-year Treasury auction at 4.69% shows bond markets pricing in late-cycle fiscal strain. Here's the lesson from 2008. That crisis saw the short-term housing cycle collapse into the long-term debt cycle's peak, creating a perfect storm of deleveraging. The result? A deeper crash and a slower recovery. Late-stage supercycles often bring lower trend growth, higher volatility, and tighter policy constraints. If this cycle is peaking, the 2020s might look more like the 2010s, sluggish growth, higher taxes, recurring turbulence, than the 1990s boom. Now, here's what to watch this week. In the UK, we've got the claimant count change on Tuesday, expected at 16,500 versus a prior 6,700. A higher number could signal labor market weakness, potentially weighing on the pound. Then on Wednesday, UK CPI year-over-year is forecast at 2.9%, up from 2.6% last time. A hotter reading could delay Bank of England rate cuts and support sterling. Back in the US, the FOMC minutes drop on Wednesday. July's meeting notes might hint at September's policy direction. Any hawkish tone could push Treasury yields even higher. And in Australia, employment change data comes Wednesday, expected at 11,700 versus a prior 76,300. Weak numbers could pressure the Australian dollar. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with the next brief.